He's been a journalist in rugby league, a former great player, of course, won a premiership with the Manly Seagulls in 1973. And he's our voice of the people, we'll call him, on a Sunday morning. And by the way, he came up with a zapper for us last week, in case you missed it.
I missed it, yeah.
He thought the Rabbitohs would beat the Roosters round one. He got it exactly
right.
Good
man, Zorb. He's on the board already.
So he's a man in form. Morning, Zorb.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Ray. Yeah, morning, Pete. Well, what a start. Wet start, but great ratings on television, good crowds, and first up, a salute to Rugby League. I thought the way they jumped in straight away, a few hours after that tragic happening in Christchurch for the game to show that it cared a few hours after it happened was magnificent. It carried on over to Auckland prior to that game there last night between the Bulldogs and the New Zealand Warriors. So the game shows it has got a great heart, which is wonderful.
Yeah, I think we always knew that. Mm. Just on that, we'll go to that game first before we get to some of the others. I thought maybe a long year for the Bulldogs. Absolutely confirmed within 80 minutes last night, Zorb. What did you think?
Yeah, I'm really concerned for the Bulldogs and for my beloved Seagulls too. I thought they were pretty ordinary last night. But the Bulldogs, I was surprised first up that that Dean Pay didn't put Reece Martin, who was one of their successors last year, in their side. I mean, they're a club that's got by on great goal kickers. Not that it mattered last night, that didn't bite them. But I thought Martin was a good enough player and a terrific goal kicker to get a start in that side, particularly as the pack is it's so predictable. I mean, you need a court order to get the ball off the forwards. They all play the same way. There's just nothing different about Jackson, Faitala Mariner, Adam Elliott, Corey Helwira-Neera, Sue. They all tuck the ball under the arm and that's it. It's almost like they're hiding it. Yeah. There was just no variety in their halves, no speed in their back line. I thought they were very ordinary. But full marks to the Warriors. I thought their young halfback and their veteran playmaker, Blake Green, really paved the way for that win. Every time I see Green play, I go Green because letting him go from his contract at Manly, they've been going downhill since they lost that playmaker. But I thought the Warriors were very, very good.
Just before we get to that, my understanding is that it's Reece Martin's response in training that has let him down, and Dean Pay has responded accordingly.
Oh, okay. Hey, so well,
he may regret that.
Mm. Yeah. So what about the three earlier games, just quickly? The Storm against the Broncos, the Storm, professional, clinical as always. The Knights, everyone's second favourite team, got up over the Sharks 14-8, and the Rabbits, they were pretty convincing against the Roosters.
Yeah, well, I think it's a point in all those games too that suddenly the number nines are the most fashionable and vital players to the gun rugby league teams. And I think on that score, Brisbane's new boss, Anthony Seibold, well, he learned straight away that he was spoilt last year when he had a running hooker and probably one of the best in the competition. He needs to find a running rake sooner rather than later at the Broncos. Andrew McCulloch, he's an honest toiler, but work trucks are getting left behind in the garage in the modern game. Seibold used and was spoilt with Damien Cook at Souths, but he doesn't have that zippy nine at his disposal. McCulloch simply doesn't have the speed out of dummy half to allow any variety in around the rucks for the Broncos. Now, a lot of people in Brisbane have been saying that this young Broncos pack is going to set the standard for years to come. Well, I don't think it showed in that 22-12 loss to the Storm on Thursday. They need some spark around the rucks. And maybe Cody Nikorima may be in for a switch sometime this season. They need to do something. If you look at the nines around the place at the weekend, well, Nathaniel Roach at the Warriors, that's why
very good.
They weren't too worried about letting Isaac Luke go. Luke is still there, but Roach is a gun out of dummy half. Mm. He was injured last year, so not a lot of people know a lot about him. Cam Smith, well, he's got the guile of a beautiful passing game and the brains. Robbie Farah, similar. Two tries, great display last night from him. Jake Friend was good. Damien Cook was good. Danny Levi was good.
Yes.
Happy Corrissau was good. But they're all runners. If you haven't got a runner, then you're left in the dim, dark ages of the old Ken Carneys from yesteryear where you could get by with a hooker when they used to have scrums that you had to strike for. But that's not the case anymore.
Was Max Krillich a runner?
Well, Max, he was. He ran 40 metres to score a try in
a test match?
In Leeds, in a test match. I took the headphones off and cheered the bomb thrower home.
I don't think you can say that in 2009. Anyway, let's move. I'll tell you what I was impressed with last night. It's amazing how it happens. Michael Morgan in 2017 was probably the best player in the competition. There was no Jonathan Thurston. 2018, he was a shadow of his former self, and I know he had injuries. But again, in the space of 80 minutes, he showed himself to be world class last night.
Controlled the football, and he controlled the game.
Yeah, he did. But what about the big fella, Jason Tomalolo? And look, it's going to be interesting. Once again, I know we're going live to Brisbane these days, and the Broncos fans are wonderful, but their sides, they need to look at their side and have a reality check. I mean, they're in for it this week when they place the Cowboys. When you look at that pack, Tamalolo has just got bigger, meaner, more destructive. Look out opposition forwards, and particularly the young gun Broncos. Tamalolo is on the rampage, and he's got Jordan McLean with him now.
Yes.
Fit and going well. Matt's got likewise, and the ex-Bronco, Josh Maguire, with steam coming out of him every time he takes the ball up. They'll prove a handful for any opposition this season. And Tamalolo ran, he virtually galloped, didn't he, for 301 metres last night against the Dragons. It was just an awesome display. The beast is on the loose, and the Cowboys are warning every club in the NRL that if you're going to beat them, you're going to have to beat them in the forwards, and that's going to take an almighty effort. I'm thinking it could be a none from two start to the Broncos, and on their home ground, they'll need to be a lot better than they were this during the week on Thursday in the kickoff if they're going to beat the Cowboys.
No time to panic, though, for the Broncos. I was saying to Jimmy earlier, remember South Sydney last year, Zorb under Seabold, they were slow out of the blocks too, but they clicked into gear by about round five.
When should they panic?
Yeah, but look, they've got Roberts out now. We don't know for how long. We're going to see Lodge suspended for that tackle on Munster, the same as Fanua Blake will be for his tackle at the legs of a kicking player in Benji Marshall. No place in the game for those sort of things. They're going to be down on strength against the Cowboys, and I don't know whether they've got... I think they're a bit overrated, the Broncos. I thought Jack Bird was good for them, but I thought the rest of them, their halves just aren't competing. I mean, they were well outplayed by Munster and Croft, Milford and Nikarima, but obviously because their pack wasn't going well, but I thought their two tries were I think that scoreline of 22-12 flattered them, even though they got back into the game. It should have been 30-something to around 10-12 in that game.
No, fair enough. Matt Lodge, what's he get for that tackle, Jimmy? 2 weeks?
He's got 2 weeks. They're thinking about challenging it too. They're thinking about challenging it, which I would do if I was them. I think there's mitigating circumstances in that one. Now, Peter Grimshaw has signalled that he's finishing up at the NRL. A lot of people wouldn't know who he is. He's Todd Greenberg's right-hand man, the media man. He's got a long history in working in those types of positions for premiers and deputy premiers. But he's had the flak jacket on. Usually you have a flak jacket on when you go to a war zone. Well, he's had that on for the last 5 years at the NRL, and he's calling it quits.
Interesting time at the NRL with this one, Jimmy. As you mentioned, the resignation of he's a really powerful figure in the NRL. He's the media boss, and he runs it pretty strongly. It's fair to say that some media outlets, and you'll be well aware of this, will be happy that he's going. There have been rumblings for some time that some organisations and individuals have been favoured over others. So much so that I can reveal exclusively this morning that one network boss went to the NRL Central 2 weeks ago to claim as much, saying, look, we're behind the game. We like reporting on it, but we want a fair go. Now, Todd Greenberg, when he got the job, he inherited Grimshaw. He was already there. It'll be interesting to see who gets the gig, how much influence Greenberg has over it, and it's certainly a tough job. I think with Graham Annesley in the league now, he'll be a good calming influence on Greenberg. He knows the position as a former CEO at the Titans, of how important the media are, how you need to go about it. the fact that he's having Monday sessions with the media shows that he knows and understands the media, and I think that he'll probably have a big input into this as well. And congratulations to him. Good to see the referees put their whistles away. 12 months ago, we were complaining about penalties of upwards of 24, 25 in some games. Stop-start game, penalties galore,
yeah,
inside the red zones, boring, killing the game. Well, we saw a big improvement on that in the games thus far. A
yep.
much better approach, and I think it speaks for a better game. The ratings are good, the crowds are up, and I think that's a great start.
Who was the media organisation that complained?
Well, it wasn't Channel 9, and it wasn't Channel 10. And do the ABC exist?
Michelle Guthrie says they do. They're paying her a fortune.
Yeah, they are. They are paying her a fortune. She's very happy.
Very happy the ABC exists. Now, Penrith v Parramatta. For those people who are new to the program today, Zorba will give us a tip. He's already one for one to start 2019. Panthers $1.53. Parramatta $2.55. The line is 5.5.
I think Parramatta will go a lot better. Remember this corresponding game last year? They led at half time, but then fell in a heap.
Yes.
I think they'll go better this year, but I think the Panthers need to get their act together, and I think they will today. I'm not taking any notice of trial form. I'm going to go for the Panthers to win this one.
At the line?
1-12.
Panthers 1-12. Okay. And then the other game, of course, tonight, Gold Coast up against the Canberra Raiders. $1.85 the Titans, the Raiders $1.95.
Yeah, this is a tough one too. I'm confused in this game, because if there were two players that had great years for the Titans last year, it was AJ Grimson,
yes,
and Anthony Don. Well, Anthony Don has gone to jersey number 20, so he's no hope of getting a run. Brimson's on the bench and probably for his utility value, but I thought he was great in every position they tried him in last year. They put Tyrone Roberts at 5'8 after his stint in the English Super League, and he's a good, steady player. But I thought Brimson was outstanding. I find that strange, but I think at home that they can... Well, 5 out of the 6 winners so far have come from home teams. The only side that was a visitor, or not really a visitor to the SCG, were the South Sydney Rabbitohs in that win over the Roosters. And just in that game, if you think that was fairly fiery and fired up, we're going to wait till the end of the season, the last round of the comp, for them to meet again. But the decision in that game by Cody Walker to call his former teammate a traitor.
Yes.
That has really upset the Roosters, and look for that. Well, what do they call it? The Book of Feuds. I think there's going to be another chapter written, because it was nearly on for young and old, with players rushing in from both sides.
Yes.
And it was probably, well, I think in the heat of the battle, you know, things like that are said. But obviously,
yep,
there was some exception taken to what Cody Walker called Angus Crichton.
Yes.
And the player to fire up was the former South Sydney 5'8", Premiership 5'8", Luke Keary.
Yep.
Who was a gutsy little player, doesn't step down to anyone, even took on the Gladiator, we can't forget that.
That's right.
And his boss, Russell Crowe. So he just made it clear after the game in the media sessions that he wasn't happy. Neither was Cooper Cronk. You never see Cooper fire up, but he even arced up in that game as well. So the Roosters, as I said this time last week,
yes,
underdone. They've had that game against Wigan, the only game under their belt.
Yep.
The trip home, everything else, they will get better. Wigan continue to lose. And they're not the benchmark in the English Super League anymore.
Well, it has provided us a talk topic, so we're happy with it, the fact that it was cool. And by the way, there's a number of people nominating you as being a traitor to the Parramatta Eels when you went over the Manly Seagulls too, by the way.
Mate, what would you rather do? Have a look at Duck Creek or go over to God's Country, please?
Thank you, Zorba.
Goodbye, boys.
Thanks, Pete. See you, mate.
Peter Peters with his thoughts on the game of rugby league. We need to be very careful around that.